The epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably in the day, not reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's been such a wonderful joy to be here this weekend. I've been here yesterday. I was able to be here with an invitation with the Eastern Door Counseling Center and working with Kelly, and it's been fantastic to be able to talk about healing spiritual wounds. Glenn mentioned that the book would be available, but I also wanted to add that the proceeds from the book that aren't going to the bookstore will be going to the Eastern Door Counseling Center to be able to help those who cannot, to support those who cannot pay for counseling services. So it's an incredible ministry, so I've been thrilled to be a part of that this weekend. And thank you for your generous hospitality, and Glenn and Miriam for just opening up their community with such grace and warmth. If you're like me, I've been glued to the TV screen as much as I can be, and when I'm not, I'm glancing on my phone a little bit here and there, watching those hurricanes. It's been devastating to see them ripping through the island. And as they began to touch down in Florida this morning, I remember growing up on the beaches of Florida. I would go to the sand and I would read books for hours, and I would pick up shells and collect them and all their texture and beauty. There was nothing better to me than feel the sun on my face. But there was a cost to living on the beach in Florida. And my mom is feeling that cost right now. She is evacuating. She's safe. She's in Tennessee. But as I was growing up, we would, every once in a while, every few years, have the threat of a hurricane. The one I remember most is David, and we went to the mainland at a friend's house, stayed in a big home that suddenly became very small as we were stuck in it for many days. My father stood and sat at a table with the chess pieces around him, and he beat everyone at chess one by one, spending the days making sure that he stayed the chess king of the home. We, as children, played Uno for hours, begging our parents to go outside as they made sure that we stayed inside. And everybody else talked about the last storm and the last hurricane party. And they came with all kinds of stories about watching everything that they had being demolished. I remember sorting through pictures, taking the ones that I needed to take, the ones I needed to be sure weren't destroyed. I remember my mom picking the few pieces of paper, the legal paperwork, the insurance forms, to make sure we would be able to rebuild again. And I remember huddling with people that I love. And so as I was thinking about this sermon, as it was forming within me, and as I was reading this Romans passage, Romans 13, 8 through 14, reading, "Be indebted in love." I couldn't help but think about all of those millions of people who have evacuated, leaving everything that they have built up, everything in their lives, and moving into some sort of community. I remember as a child looking throughout that house with friends and family members and thinking, this is where we find our safe harbor, in this place, this community of love. Even though we surround ourselves with material and with debts, we end up indebted in love. It also reminds me of this friend of mine. He works with people who are homeless. And he said that homeless really, it's not like a money problem. It's a community problem. Because he said, the more people that you have in your address book, the more people you can call when you find yourself in difficult situations, the less likely that you'll be homeless. And certainly, as hurricanes rip through our country, through Texas and through Florida, we're finding that's the case. Those who have people they can call in their address book, those who have found themselves indebted in love, have found a certain safe harbor, have found themselves surrounded by the things they need to be surrounded by. I imagine the people in Rome who opened this letter for the first time, how it might sound upon their ears. It was a Jewish community, and we know something about this community, about Jacob that you sang about, because the children of Abraham and of Sarah found themselves indebted to the Pharaoh, to the people of Egypt. Jacob, he told the Pharaoh that he needed to build the silos, that there would be a famine coming. And they needed to build these huge silos and fill them up with food. And so the Pharaoh did that. He filled them up with food. And then Joseph's family became indebted to Pharaoh. When they could no longer pay their debts, they became slaves in order to pay off those debts. And as the story of liberation goes, the one that many of us know well, they became free of that debt and of their servanthood and the slavery when they left and found the promised land. In Rome, things were still very difficult. They found themselves oppressed, and many scholars think that the ruler at that time was probably Caligula. We know a little bit about Caligula. And even though debt slaves were outlawed, many people in that community still found themselves as indebted. And the way in which they would pay off those debts is they would take a member of their family, and the member of the family would become indentured, and they would work as almost slaves, even though slavery wasn't legal. And they knew what this was like. And so when it says to be slaves to one another, this settled on their ears in a particular way. When it said that we needed to be indebted to one another, it settled on their ears in a particular way. When it said that we should be indebted in love, it was saying that we are no longer bound to the slavery of our history, but instead we are bound in community and in love. And here, as we hear these words, we are reminded of our own history and our own past. Because as we look through our history, we know that we've had two competing forces in our religious landscape. We've had the voices of those who talk about the prosperity gospel. And the voices of the prosperity gospel say that if you believe in God, if you pray, if you name it, and if you claim it, God will make you wealthy. And then there's this other voice, the other voice of the social gospel of Rauschenbusch, the voice of MLK and the beloved community that says, let us imagine the world as it ought to be. And these have been the two competing voices within our history in the last 100 years or so. And so far, the voice of the prosperity gospel has won out. And it makes sense, right? If you have a pile of gifts and you tell a child, either God wants you to have all these gifts for yourself, or you tell a child, God wants you to share these gifts with everyone and create a beloved community and a beloved party. Which one is the child going to do? And often that is what we have done in our churches, in our lives, in our politics. We have forgotten how to dream. We have forgotten to be indebted to love. We have forgotten to build this beloved community. We have forgotten that we have enough as a country. We do not need to be kicking people out. We need to be reimagining our lives. We need to be reimagining what it looks like to be indebted to love. We're going to be rebuilding as a country. We're going to be spending the next decade rebuilding. We will be rebuilding those incredible storms, those houses that have been demolished, the people who have been left without homes. We will be rebuilding much of Texas, of Houston. We'll be rebuilding much of the west coast of Florida. And as we do, can we rebuild ourselves as communities and as a nation? Can we keep dreaming to think of the world as it ought to be, to rebuild as a beloved people? because it is an important shift in our country right now. We are at a crux, an important time where we can begin to be louder with that voice of the social gospel, the one that has been pulsing through our history. And we can begin to say, this is our beloved community. We have enough, and we can dream of a world as it ought to be. May we all be dreamers to the glory of God, our Creator, God, our Liberator, and God, our Sustainer. Amen.